Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. 1 hour to go here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mates. Caroline is in the on-deck circle. She is filling in for Jared this afternoon. Jared has headed up to Minnesota for the Vikings-Titans week, which will culminate in the preseason game number 2, but they've got the scrimmage practices coming up, the live practices, which we'll have our eyes on very, very extensively over the next couple of shows. Join 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this Sunday for Middle Tennessee Athletics Fan Day, MTSU Athletics Fan Day. Fans can come out to see the football, volleyball, track, and field teams as the fall season is weeks away. You can get autographs, enjoy live music along with inflatables, face painting, balloon artists for the kids. The fun will be at Floyd Stadium from 3 to 5 on Sunday, so don't miss out on that. Also, tomorrow we've got our trivia night to benefit Stars, and it's over at Boomba's on the east side. Boomba's East. In the Five Points area, if you're familiar with East Nashville, if you're not, come on over. We're going to have a great time tomorrow, raise some money for a great cause, and we're going to have a blast. It's trivia night. I'm the game show host. I've always wanted to be a game show host, so this is kind of like my second thing when I get a chance to do this. The third time we've done it at Boomba's. D-Mace will be there. Caroline will be there. We're recruiting some of the Predators broadcasters. Might have a little flavor from them. They were there last year, and man, Hal Gill, I thought, wasn't going to get out of there alive because we heckled him so bad.
Yeah.
And he was fighting back.
But that's Hal.
that's guilty.
So you're going to channel your inner Pat Sajak.
Pat Sajak. Barker.
Bob Barker. Steve Harvey.
Drew Carey. Yeah.
Chuck Woolery.
Yeah, he's going to channel all that in one.
Oh, yeah. No question. Regis Philbin. Do you need more time? Remember that?
That was on ABC.
So that's tomorrow night at 7. We'd love for you to come by. If you want to text us on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, text us and say you'd like to come. We'll get in touch with you all the details. It's $20 per person if you want to win the prizes. And we have great prizes. Concert tickets, Predators tickets, Sounds tickets. It's going to be your choice if your team wins. But we ask that you pay the $20, but you get $2 beers, free appetizers for coming. So you're going to have your money's worth for sure. You're going to help a good cause. So tomorrow night at Boomba's East. So just text us, 615-737-1025, if you want to come play. Just let us know, and you can decide tomorrow. You can show up the day of if you want to. That's tomorrow night at 7. All right, let's delve into a couple things that Tim said, Derek, that I thought were very interesting. In fact, a texter, Brian, says, Tim was talking about Will Levis's last couple of passes. Tim's big thing, if you missed it, was that he thought Will Levis had a great opportunity to have a big impact and missed out on the last couple of passes. Like, he gets the ball back. They weren't sure they were going to get the ball back, but he gets in there. It's his turn because they alternated the series to get the ball, and he missed a throw that he could have made. And he even said it after the game. He said, I'd really feel good about it if I hit that last throw and we'd have scored. But Brian points out on our text line that Malik Willis had a two-minute opportunity right before that with timeouts. They got the ball down inside the 10, and then the drive stalled there too. So he also had an opportunity. I would say that most people's observation was that Willis graded out better because of the opening drive. He looked like he'd improved. But he also left something on the table as well. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, I think both quarterbacks left something on the table. You know, both quarterbacks have had an opportunity to win, you know, to do better. Obviously, Will Levis had an opportunity to be sort of the hero of the day with that last drive. So, you know, but I think all in all, there were things that both quarterbacks wish they could have done differently. You know, Willis got more opportunities. And I'm sure, you know, Levis may get more opportunities this game. I think they will probably more than likely allow him to go with the first team offensive line. Let's see how he does.
That will be interesting, what the game two looks like, because on one hand, since Willis is higher on the depth chart, he probably earned the ability to play with the first offensive line in that first half, and he made the most of it. That was the most impressive part of the game. Do they give Levis another shot, and do they give him a chance, or does he have to earn it this week, like these practices against the Vikings?
I think the practices against the Vikings will help, but I think if you want to see – both quarterbacks. I'm not saying they need to go away from the one series in, one series out. I'm not saying that. But I do believe if you want to get a true evaluation of both quarterbacks, you got to give Will Levis an opportunity to play with that first line offense, with that first team offensive line, and see if he can have some of that same success that Malik Willis had. Now, when you take the first team offense off or the first offensive line, I think both guys still had there was an amount of success, you know, even playing with the second offensive line. But I think you'll get a clearer picture if Willis is playing with that first team offensive line. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, one guy played better than the other. I think both guys played well. I think both guys have improvement to make moving forward. I believe that Will Levis should get an opportunity with the first team offensive line to see if he can have some of that success that Malik Willis had with the first team offense. So it's yet to be seen, but I think both guys did fairly well, but I think they still have a ways to go, both of them.
And would we feel, and it's crazy because it would be one play in one game, but if either of them had hit the winning touchdown, don't you think there'd be a lot of hype that would naturally come with that? Like if Levis hits the crossing route, or Willis, when they got down the drive before, had cashed and made a great play, a nice throw. Remember, he threw it on fourth down, fourth and goal, back of the end zone.
Yeah.
If he puts it right on the money and the guy makes a great catch, we'd be like, oh, look at the Willis. You know, that just naturally happens. And that leads to the next text on our text line. Texter says, ask Hasselbeck why he's talking bad about Levis but praises Richardson and Stroud. They also struggled in their first performances. They only played three series. But it is very interesting to see everybody sort of really delve in and look at every little thing from all these young quarterbacks. Like they carved up Trey Lance after his first game. Stroud and Richardson, and they couldn't protect those guys. They both look like they've got a long, long way to go as well.
I don't think he talked bad about, you know, Will Levis. He just pointed out some things that, you know, because he even came on and said maybe, you know, I may have been a little bit too harsh, you know, at the beginning, or it may have come off as if I was too harsh. But, you know, he clarified it. Like, there are some things that he should have just taken. Like, there were plays for him to be made, simple plays. You got to make the simple plays.
Make your layups.
Like, listen, you don't have to, after you make the pass, which would have been a tough pass to make, you're avoiding the defenders, you're sort of going to your left and leaning backwards a little bit, and you try to flick it to a guy that's coming across the middle of the field 15 yards down the field. Yeah, that's a throw you're going to have to make, but you can't let that throw compound on the next play, which allows you to then miss the underneath guy that would have gotten you the first down and allowed you another down. No. Because you didn't hit the crosser, you felt in your mind you had to go for a big play now. Like, I got to get this play in. Well, no, not really. You should have took what the defense gave you. Vrabel said it. Take what you see and don't try to make something that's not there. Take that underneath route. We got another play. Time on the clock. We can come and spike it, get the first down, spike it. Now we got time on the clock. as a young quarterback sometimes, and as a young player, when you're in that competition, you think, I got to make the next play. I got it because I missed on this one. I got to make the next play. Well, no. What you got to do is just continue to move the offense. And I think that's what Will Levis will learn. Hopefully he will learn that. Based upon what Malik Willis did last year and this year, I'm sure he will get it. So I don't think, you know, Tim talked like bad about him. I just think he pointed out some things, just like he pointed out some things on Malik Willis,
right,
that he missed.
It'll be something to look for today. Tomorrow, the big practices start between the Vikings and the Titans. We'll find out some more about these young quarterbacks. And, by the way, they do have to get Ryan Tannehill ready as well amidst all of this stuff. We would expect that they won't play Tannehill in the game, but he'll get a lot of reps against the Vikings this week. A lot of big things coming for the Titans as they prepare for the season. Stay tuned. We'll come back with more here on 102.5 The Game. Stay tuned.
Sort of, you know, looking over his shoulder, seeing what the other quarterback did prior to him, and then wanting to make the play instead of making a safe play to give yourself another opportunity to win a game?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt when you're in a competition, you're aware of what, you know, the guy you're competing with has done. I mean, listen, I can remember competing against A.J. Feely for a backup job in Philadelphia, and, you know, he went out and he was like 8 for 12 and threw a touchdown that was like, I was like, all right, this ball can't hit the ground like when I go out there. I mean, that's just – it's just like how you feel. And so I do think that can impact you. But to me, I feel like that situation at the end of the game was a little bit more of just not being aware of the situation and what could happen. And the fact that, you know, there's, you know, like I said, 19 seconds left, like – go ahead and get the first down. Get one more play where, like, you might actually be able to throw it into the end zone, you know, have time, because you're a little bit closer. And look, I think sometimes it's – some of it has to do with, like, maybe a little bit of frustration because of the play before. But, those are things I think you just have to learn. And I'm sure they'll talk about them where they'll say, hey, look, like, right here, like, we don't need this – you know, desperation heave right here. Like, there's still football left. Like, that's how that play felt to me.
Tim Hasselbeck, his analysis of the end of the game against the Chicago Bears. Very interesting to think about that, because D-Mace, when you look around the league and there's C.J. Stroud and there's Richardson and there's Bryce Young and there's Trey Lance, there's Jordan Love in Green Bay. A lot of quarterbacks that are under the microscope. What's different about this, what's unique anyway, and this is, I think, a good thing to learn from for Levis and Willis. Like, for example, Malik Willis did a very nice job at the end of the first half in the two-minute drill, right? Got him down there. They got the field goal. A lot of these young quarterbacks who are presumably, for example, Anthony Richardson has been named the starting quarterback for the Colts. He's not in the game to do the two-minute drill at the end of the first half or a late-game situation in the fourth quarter where you're trying to win the game. So you got to develop in other ways for that. So it's just interesting. Like, we're scrutinizing mistakes that are made at the end of a game, and some of these young quarterbacks are out of there after two or three series. So it's just interesting, different ways that these teams are choosing to put their young guys out there.
Yeah, and you just never know, you know, what they're looking for, what they want to see. Obviously, they want to see the quarterbacks play well, but they may want to see a quarterback in a particular situation. Like, okay, let's put them in a situation where, you know, we may not get any other situation, but this situation right here, you know, second drive in the first quarter, we're backed up. Let's put him in that situation and see how he performs, see how he reacts. I'm sure there are a million things coordinators and head coaches and GMs want to see when it comes to, you know, that prized possession, which is the quarterback position. So you want to, just like Vrabel said, these guys, whether it's Malik Willis or Will Levis, they're not our starters. They're going to have to come off the bench cold. So that's why we're doing, you know, alternating back and forth, because we got to learn and see how they react in situations that are going, that are, that will happen in a football game. Like realistic situations, like when you work out as a athlete nowadays, you're doing things, you're doing movements that you're going to be doing during the game. You're not doing anything. I'm not just running 100 yards. You know, yeah, I can get conditioned that way, but that's not what I'm doing, because on every play, I'm not just running flat out 100 yards. I got to run 10 yards. I got to run 5 yards, side to side movements, all these other things. So I want to put my quarterback in a position where it's actually going to happen in the game. Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback. Second quarter. Oh, my goodness. Ryan goes down, you know, or his shoes come off and he can't tie his laces. He has to run to the sideline. Well, Malik Willis or Will Levis, this your opportunity.
It happened with Willis
exactly.
last year.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Times.
So I'm putting y'all in this situation that will happen. We don't want it to happen, but more than likely, you're going to have to come in and play like that. So I like what Vrabel and Coach T did in regards to that. So you just want to put your quarterback in position. So I don't know why, you know, Richardson and Stroud only played so many snaps. I don't know why Bryce Young played more snaps than a lot of them. I don't know why Willis and – well, we know why Willis and –
we know why Willis and Levis did what they did.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know why the coaches for those respective teams chose to play this guy longer or play him on a series and pull him out.
I was listening to some that were talking about the Panthers' decision, and it was simply that the Jets were just tearing up their offensive line. They thought Bryce Young was going to get killed, so they got him out of there. Mm. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. I do come back to this. This is a big theme of the day for me, is on a day where Anthony Richardson is handed the job, mm-hmm. and it is like Tim Hasselbeck said, and you're a high first-round pick, mm-hmm. you are going to be the starter. You know you're going to get a chance to start. Mm-hmm. What you do with it is up to you. But sometimes those guys get thrust in there without, quote, earning it, right? Mm-hmm. They are deemed the starter before they show that they're good or ready or not ready mm-hmm. sometimes. So Richardson, they have a perfectly capable placeholder. Mm-hmm. They're not expected to win right away, but they've decided, let's just get him in there. We're going to mm-hmm. throw him into the deep end, and we're going to hope that he's going to go through some struggles, but he is going to get better faster by playing him. Whereas Will Levis, the fateful Don Juan, he was sitting there. Going into the draft, mm-hmm. he was going to be one of those guys that mm-hmm. was going to be a high first-round pick that was going to be given the starting job. His narrative is totally different now mm-hmm. because he's a second-round pick that is now trying to compete for the backup job. I just think that's a really interesting plot twist where he was all preparations. Like, okay, is it Levis? Is it Richardson? Is it how much time did we take up in March and April talking about this?
Who's going to be that pick after Bryce Young?
Yeah.
Which one of these guys are going to be that
pick?
But
now his development path is completely different than those guys.
Well, it should be. It should be, but is it fair? Probably not, but sports isn't always fair.
You could argue that it might be better
exactly.
for Levis with all the skeptics that are out there. I don't know about Levis, mm-hmm. man. He struggled against Vanderbilt and Tennessee. This might be better for him because he will have to win
exactly.
the job. He's going to have to earn the job. Whereas
Richardson is Bryce Young
and probably Stroud
are given the job.
Yeah.
And there's something too. And I know everyone that is listening can relate. There's something to you having to work for it and then seeing the fruit of that labor and say, you know what? Somebody just didn't give it to me. I had to, you know, work for everything that I got. There's that. It's different than just being in everybody. Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of people that want things given to them. Hell, I do. But it feels better when you earn it, especially on, you know, on a sports platform. If you earn that starting position, if you earn that All-Pro, if you earn that MVP, that means a lot. That means you, you know, you put in the work, and now I see the fruits of my labor. Not to say that, you know, Richardson is going to flame out or anything, or Bryce will, or Stroud will, or Willis won't, Levis won't, because, you know, he has to fight through it. It just means a little bit different when you know you had to work through some challenges or some other people just to get that opportunity to be a starter. Yeah, because the narrative is different. Have Will Levis been drafted in the first round by the Titans? They expected him to – everyone would expect him to be the starter,
yes.
Not the backup.
We'd have a totally different storyline.
Exactly.
Yes. And who knows where that would have left Malik Willis.
Absolutely.
And Tannehill, for that matter.
Yeah,
we would be talking very differently about Tannehill.
We'd be talking about
Levis
a trade.
If Levis was the first-round pick.
We'd be talking about a trade.
I think so. That would have been
Tannehill.
In play.
Yeah.
No doubt. But it has gone a different direction. All right. When we come back, we're going to hit – our AFC team of the day, NFC team of the day. We're trying to get you ready for the season. Got some storylines we're going to pass along, and we'll break it down for you. Stay tuned. And by the way, one other thing to pass along, too, don't forget that it's Door Jam Day coming up over on the Vanderbilt campus. So join us, 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game. It's Saturday. Door Jam is celebrating Vanderbilt sports at the David Williams Recreation Center. The fun kicks off at 2 o'clock. And it's going to include, as it always does, autograph sessions, photo booths, lawn games. Head out there to support Vanderbilt Athletics as the fall sports return in just a few weeks. A week from Saturday, I think. Is that right? A week from Saturday, Vanderbilt versus Hawaii to get it all started. Stay tuned. We're coming back. Moving forward here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline is in the afternoon slot today, fill in for Jared. Jared Stillman is up at the practices, which will start tomorrow, between the Titans and the Vikings. And, of course, it'll end with the Vikings-Titans game on Saturday, preseason game number 2. Let's bounce around the NFL. We like to take a team from the AFC and the NFC and break down some of the things going on with them. Today we have selected the Bills from the AFC, and the Eagles from the NFC. So, D-Mace, you were talking earlier today. We were talking about how much hype the Jets are getting, and now they've added a high-level name in Dalvin Cook to the mix. You have always been a little skeptical on the Bills. I will give you a little take from the FTN Football Almanac. This is the new Football Outsiders, if you will, Aaron Schatz, who I really like. They say about the 2023 Bills, after 2022's playoff disappointment, they've had two really good teams the last couple of years, has not equated to the breakthrough in the playoffs. 2023 Bills, postseason odds, 72%. For example, the Titans are 28% on this website. Mm-hmm. History is full of teams that couldn't get over the hump until the year they finally did. Of course, this is also true in Cincinnati and Dallas and San Francisco and so on. So until they do it, there's going to be this, I'm not sure they can do it. You're in the club of you're not sure that Josh Allen and the Bills can do it.
They had their opportunity, I believe. It was primed for them. They had their quarterback. In a division that was, you know, the New England Patriots were pretty much a shell of themselves or what they used to be. You know, you have the Jets had a good defense, but they couldn't do anything offensively for the last 2 years. And then you have the Dolphins that were sort of in the mix, but prior to getting Tyreek Hill, they still was a team that was just missing some things offensively and defensively. And you took advantage of that, but you were not able to beat the team, you know, whether it was Cincinnati Bengals or the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. And those two teams ultimately end up going to the Super Bowl. You know, Cincinnati ends up losing to the Rams, But we know what Kansas City was able to do. Their trips to the Super Bowl, lost one, end up winning two of them. This year, this division has gotten so based upon the moves that have been made. Now, the season, once it gets going, that would tell another story.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, this division has become a lot stronger. The Dolphins have their quarterback if he can stay healthy. They have more receivers. They have a running game. They have a defense. I know they're missing Jalen Ramsey for a portion of the season, but I think that defense is still good. And obviously the Jets and what they were able. And I think New England's going to be better than what they were last year. Will they make the playoffs? Probably not, but they're going to be a better team.
They're going to be a tough out.
They got a hell of a defense.
They got a good defense. They just added Zeke Elliott.
Uh-huh.
They usually run the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones is not the worst. Quarterbacking may not be a franchise guy.
But then they have an offensive coordinator now.
Yeah. Yes. And a good one.
Exactly.
Bill O'Brien has been a good offensive
coordinator. Absolutely. So I look at the Buffalo Bills, and I look at a team that it's been really interesting. And I said this before, so this is nothing that I haven't said before. Their defense, as good as they are or have been, and I know they missed Von Miller for a portion of the season, but even with that, as good as they have been with as a team, and as good as that defense has been, there's still something. When they need to show up big, they don't. The defense don't. And then when they need to show up big again, the quarterback does something just about every time to put his team in a situation where they got to come back and win the football game. Now, some majority of the times, he has to bring them back to win it. But if he didn't make all those mistakes, they wouldn't even be in that situation. When you talk about point differential in the league last year, there was only – nobody was better than the Buffalo Bills in point differentiation. The Bills were like plus 170-something.
Yeah.
And the next team,
when they were good,
I think
dominated.
San Francisco was like plus 170.
Right, it's a mark of a dominant team.
Exactly. So they have a dominant team on paper, but sometimes when they get in the game, it's totally different. There's no way with a third string quarterback that the Buffalo Bills should have been close in that game against Miami. If Miami has their quarterback, Miami wins that game. And now everybody's talking different about Josh Allen. Josh Allen, to me, has not proven he's broken through that ceiling of elite quarterbacks. He just hasn't.
Okay.
Because he makes way too many mistakes. He had 14 interceptions last year. That's not counting the playoff game.
So that is definitely a nitpick. Here are a couple of nitpicks at a team that we think is going to be a very good team. They're a little older.
Mm-hmm.
14 players on the team, 30 or older. Mm-hmm. That's something to think about. Another nitpick you get a lot is when really push comes to shove in the playoffs, they cannot run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be able to run better. Do you think that they have addressed that at all? Will they be better in that? Or do you, until further notice, are you still skeptical of that?
I guess until further notice. I was just looking at their running back depth chart. James Cook, Damian Harris, Latavius Murray. It doesn't seem like they got
better. It's still a committee approach. Not a lot of money invested in those guys.
And they need a running game. Why didn't they try to go get a Dalvin Cook? Why didn't they try to go get a Zeke Elliott? There's still other running backs that are out there. Why didn't they try to get is Kareem Hunt still out there?
He is still out there.
He is.
There's other running backs that. That is
that
still
sounded like
out
a fantasy
there.
Draft. Yeah, is Kareem Hunt? Yes, he's still out there.
I'll take him.
You're now on the clock.
But this team had opportunities to address a weak spot of their team. Because you're right. That article's right. When it comes to the playoff, they cannot run the football. Hell, they don't run the football much during the season, with the exception of with the quarterback. But if you can't establish yourself in the running game in the playoffs, the odds of you winning goes down tremendously. All right. And the Bills haven't been able to do that.
Here's the final one. Do you think the Stephon Diggs weird thing that happened in the offseason, does that come back up, or do you think that's in the past now? Do you think they successfully talked it out?
Only time will tell. Only time will tell. Because there's a reason why that came up. There is a reason why that came
that
up.
Was
and,
the
they,
weirdest
and they
thing.
Downplayed it. Everybody downplayed it. But there's a reason why he was so peeved after that playoff loss. It's a reason. And like you said, they're not getting younger, whereas all these other teams seem to be getting a little bit younger. The Buffalo Bills are not getting younger.
All right, so your hot take earlier in the show, you think they could finish third
I think they
division.
Could finish third in that division. I think ultimately the Jets, Dolphins, or the Dolphins, Jets, and then the Bills. And I don't think New England's too far behind, honestly. I really don't.
Then they could all end up in the playoffs. Under
yeah,
that scenario,
could.
They could, mathematically. But that would be very interesting if it plays out that way, because that is not how it rolled last year. That division will be different. When we come back, we'll look at the Eagles. I was just in Philadelphia on the way back down on my Odyssey drive with my son. We had a great time. So we have a lot to talk about with Philadelphia. Stay tuned. We're coming back for the final segment of the show after this. All right, so D-Mace, let's set the scene. I told you when I came back from vacation, my son and I drove back down from the Northeast. So we drive from Rhode Island to New York, saw a Mets game, to Philadelphia, to Baltimore. So we saw games at Fenway Park, Citi Field in New York, Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, and then Camden Yards. So when we go to Philadelphia, we saw a no-hitter by Michael Lorenzen. First no-hitter I'd ever seen live. But on the way out, the Phillies fans were all jacked up. They're going crazy. A group of them started breaking out into Fly Eagles Fly on the way out of the stadium. It's a baseball game. And you're looking out, and you're looking right across, and that's where the football stadium is, where the Eagles are about to play. And you know, I'm thinking, wow, they've already got the football fever. But they're celebrating. I guess the Phillies didn't have a fight song. But they had everything. They were hammered, of course, and they kept singing it. They kept re-going. They knew every word, and the next thing you know, hundreds of people are singing along with them. That's one way to celebrate a no-hitter. They even had the fight, fight, fight in there when the...
Really?
Yeah, and then, of course, it ends in the... We didn't play this part with it. E-A-G! So they love their team. They love their
Eagles.
Team. So that's our NFC team of the day to look for.
Yes.
Postseason odds, according to FTN Football Almanac, 72%. So a little lower, surprisingly, than the Bills, who were at 80%. So that caught my attention there. But I look at the Eagles, 14-3 last year, came very close to winning the whole thing. I think it's legit. The little blurb here, nothing changes but the weather and the linebackers and safeties. But I still see a really good team here. I can't see them taking a big step back. Are they a Super Bowl contender in your mind?
I think they are, as long as that offense. Now, Miles Sanders is gone. Insert DeAndre Swift. They got him from the Lions, I believe, via trade. So from an offensive standpoint, they still got one of the best offensive line led by Lance Johnson in the National Football League. So – offensively, as long as they don't have any injuries, and Shane, the head coach, Shane Steichen, right? No, not
yeah.
yet.
Well, yes, Steichen left to
he was
run
the coordinator.
The Colts.
Yes,
yeah.
The Eagles, Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, Sirianni. Yeah. Steichen, Sirianni. Sirianni. Now, they are ushering in a new offensive coordinator. So that may look, the offense may look a little different. But as long as those guys stay healthy, I believe, this offense is going to continue to do what they've been able to do, because they got an explosive tight end in Goddard. We know they got two explosive receivers in Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. And then I think Jalen Hurts is just scratching the surface of his talent. So I think he's going to be even more comfortable in this offense. He has a lot of confidence in his offense. So I think the offense, they're not going to take a step back. Now, the defense is where, you know, there may be some, you know, growing pains here.
Right. They lost linebackers and safeties. Uh-huh. Now, they exactly. did draft. Remember, that
yeah,
was
they
the big
draft a kid out of Georgia.
Yeah. So they got some big dudes mm-hmm. to
that whole front,
to stabilize.
That whole front three is Georgia guys, aren't
yes.
they? So, I mean, and we saw what Georgia has been able to do the last couple of years. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to take too many steps back. But this defense is ushering in new guys on that defensive side of the ball. So I think a lot of it depends on how quickly this defense mesh. And New England, I mean, I'm saying New England, excuse me. The Eagles was a very opportunistic defense last season. Can they duplicate that once again this season? We don't know, but if they're able to do it, I don't think the offense is taking a step back at all. If the defense can come up with those timely turnovers as they did last year, if they can continue to be that aggressive type of defense they were last year, then I think you have to almost, they're the front runners in the AFC, I mean, the NFC to make it back to the Super Bowl. I look at this division, and I mean, I'm not putting my faith in Dallas.
No?
No, I'm just not. I think Dallas is going to be a good team. But beating the Eagles, I don't think it's going to happen. Definitely not putting my faith in the Commanders. They're still working out, you know, their thing as an organization. And we don't know if Howe is the quarter, you know, is he's the franchise yeah. quarterback.
And you've got, you know, Eric Bieniemy coming
Eric
in
Bieniemy,
there. There's a lot
yes.
of question marks, as there
lot,
always are. With
exactly.
that.
There's just been a lot of moving parts. And then the Giants, well, can they get better or duplicate or get better than what they did last
right.
season?
They've got some more expectations
exactly.
after they were the surprise.
Because everybody, it was like, okay, didn't nobody know anything about the Giants. Now, the Giants, everybody knows about them. Again, Saquon's back. Daniel Jones look a lot better. They've upgraded the receivers a little bit. They got them a hell of a tight end. The kid out of Vegas, and he's looking good. So people want to see if Daniel Jones can take that next step. I don't know. If he does, then that puts the pressure on not just the Cowboys, but put the pressure on the Eagles as well.
Here's an interesting tidbit about last year's season for the Eagles. They go 14-3. Two of the losses were when Hurts didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
So when Hurts was in there, the only team that beat them was the Commanders. That
yes.
one, what was it, a Monday night game
mm-hmm.
where they just didn't have the rhythm. It was weird. They actually lost at home
mm-hmm.
to the Commanders. And here's another side note that I think is interesting. In the comparison between the Cowboys and the Eagles, last year the two head-to-head matchups,
mm-hmm.
early in the season, the Eagles beat Dallas, but that was when Cooper Rush was in there and Dak Prescott was hurt. And later in the season, Dallas beat the Eagles, but that was with Gardner Minshew,
mm-hmm.
quarterback. That was one of the games that Hurts missed.
Mm-hmm.
So we really didn't see those teams go head-to-head with their starting quarterbacks mm-hmm. going head-to-head.
Exactly.
I wonder what that will look like this year.
I think it'll be a better game. But, again, I just don't trust Dallas. I mean, as good as this team has been in previous years, they've never been able to sort of just run away with the division. Even when the division was bad and they were the best team in the division, they still didn't run away with the division. So I'm not trusting the Cowboys. Now, here's a little caveat. The Commanders, if they trade Chase Young, then that may even put them further back, because he's been rumored to be traded as well.
Now, that's a major piece.
I don't think they can get a contract worked out with him. So they want to try to possibly get something for him. So if they can... If they trade Chase Young, then that Commanders team look a lot different on defense.
How high are you going with Jalen Hurts as your fantasy quarterback?
I think he's a man.
Especially when you consider the running yards.
Mm-hmm. I think he's a first round quarterback. Now it's we're talking in a league of like
the
15
question is
people.
How like last year you probably if you took Hurts you probably got him after several other quarterbacks were picked.
Exactly.
Now I think he's in that group of first fantasy quarterbacks that you're considering.
Yeah, he has
after
to
Mahomes.
Be.
Like Mahomes is probably the guy you're always going
to. He has to be if you're in a league of 10, 15 people. Even if you're in a league of 5 to 7, then I'm sure it would be Patrick Mahomes. If you're just saying, okay, you had to take a quarterback in the first round, I'm sure it would be Patrick Mahomes first, probably Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, or Joe Burrow, then Aaron Rodgers, then Herbert.
And Rodgers with a new team, that's an interesting one to consider. And he's a little older now.
Yeah. But then
Herbert. Like Hurts or Rodgers is a really interesting question. If you're sitting there, I'm taking a quarterback this round, mm-hmm. and the picks are coming towards you. You're online. You're watching. Your pick is three away. And you're thinking, Rodgers, Hurts.
But you can't go wrong with either one of them.
You can't. You probably aren't. But, those extra points probably make a difference.
Yeah, but I think he's a first round. In fantasy football, I think Jalen Hurts is a first round pick.
I agree. And you would not have thought that last year. Last year, it was kind of a sexy thing. Like, ooh, it's Hurts? Because Hurts had really started to come on. Statistically, the year before.
Exactly.
But you're like, is he for real? And now he's for real.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. All right. Caroline, I see her coming into the studio. She's ready to take over for Jared today. Jared's up in Minnesota. We're going to get some reports from him on this Titans-Vikings situation over the next few days. So be looking for that. And we will come back at you tomorrow at full strength. Caroline will be back with us tomorrow at 11. So thanks for joining us here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Be love and love on your people. Peace.
And don't forget, trivia night tomorrow at Boom Boz. We'll tell you more about it, but we'd love to see you there tomorrow night at 7 to benefit Stars.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save